Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, and welcome to this Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our topic this hour, healing after divorce. Maybe you're considering divorce or already have been through a divorce or would like to help someone else, maybe a friend, relative, heal from their divorce. This is your hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. Our guest this hour is Rose Sweet, truly one of my favorite people in the whole world. I'm so happy that you're here with us, Rose. But don't say anything. Let me finish the intro. You know, they got to know who you are. Yes, just wait, Rose. Rose is a leading expert in the in all kinds of pastoral issues surrounding separation, divorce, Catholic annulment, remarriage, and blended families. She's the author of quite a whole bunch of books. Among them, however, Healing the Divorced Heart, a devotional, and Rebuilding After Divorce, How to Make Your House a Home Again. She created the very widely used DVD series, The Catholic's Divorce Survival Guide. Rose Sweet, thank you for being with us here
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having me. I love Catholic Answers, and I love being on this program.
Well, Rose, when I say you're one of my favorite people, the first time I saw you speaking to a group of maybe 400 or 500 women here in Southern California. And part of what I just really, I don't know, like you're on fire for one thing. But you're also – there's, if I may say, no baloney in you. Like you just tell it like it is.
Well, that's because that's the kind of people I like to be around. I don't give me any vague stuff. I want the truth and nothing but the truth. So thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not – I mean, you know, I think there's probably some resistance maybe in your own ministry. You might – do you ever – no?
That was pretty funny. Oh, people hate the message, you know. You're mean.
Yeah.
You're so judgmental.
But I didn't – you know, what struck me, I suppose, that first time I saw you and every time I've seen you since or what I've read, you know, when you write is you're honest about your own life. You're not trying to say, oh, I'm Rose Sweet. And I, you know, Jesus told me what to do when I was 12, and I've never made a mistake. It's a lot of mistakes.
I've made a big, big, arrogant, prideful, horrible mess out of my life, and I hurt a lot of people along the way. But that's the good news of our faithful God, who loves us so much that he will bring us out of that if we will just open up to him a little bit. And that's what he did for me. And now my mission is, first of all, to continue to say yes to him. But then to go out and share the good news and gather up all the lost sheep.
And would you say that your primary ministry is to divorced people, or was it broader than that? Or
well, it started out that way, but I realized that healing from divorce and relationship trauma, really you have to go into the interior life to get the deepest healing. And once I began to share some of the beauty of our church teachings on the interior life, my ministry expanded to, you know, I do parish missions and I'm doing a marriage retreat next month and, women's conferences. So, yeah, it started with the pain of broken relationships, but we've all been through that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's expanded.
So when you talk about helping people in the interior life, how do you do that? What does that entail?
I have 6 signature talks that I kind of mix up on a weekend or a one day event, and they're all about Christ. They're all taking a look at the Gospels and seeing how Jesus responded to people and how he handled himself in relationships. And, you know, we can learn from that. So it's a delight, and it's very, very powerful. I give these healing weekend retreats for the separated and divorced called Adventure into the Interior Life. And I tell them to buckle up on Friday night. Uh-huh. And by the time they leave on Sunday, they are different people. They've encountered, most of them have encountered Christ in a new way. And that just gives me goosebumps every time.
That's so beautiful, and it seems to me timely, because the one thing that our world, I really do think, especially with the electronic devices, is pushing against is any kind of interior life. I mean, you could pretty much live without an interior life now. I mean, because you could be occupied every moment and distracted and upset and, you know, all that.
Yeah, you and I were just talking about my drive here today and how you have a drive to work every day. And that if we can turn the radio off, even Catholic Answers.
Not now, but
I know,
another
but,
day.
Yeah, not right now. Wait till we're done. That quiet, that's the doorway. That is the quiet and silence is a doorway into the interior life.
Yeah. And you, well, since you said we were talking before, I guess the secret is out. We spoke before the show, but you were mentioning your own dad and just you seeing, when you were little, seeing him just sitting, doing nothing. And maybe were you concerned for him or what are you doing, Dad?
Yeah, I'm the oldest. And so I had to keep an eye out on everything. And my dad was just sitting there. He wasn't talking to anybody. The TV was off. And I said, Dad, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm thinking, honey. You're thinking? Yeah, you have to make time in your day to think about important things. And so he taught us all of that, to have quiet time and to think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, without any sense of, I don't feel judgmental about parents who need a break from the kids for a few minutes. I mean, that's, and there are tools for that that are very valuable. But you get the sense when you see how children are being raised today that there are a lot of children who are being raised without a moment of quiet in their life. Even when they're sitting in the grocery cart, or maybe that's the best time for it, I don't know, but they're playing with the phone, mom's phone or dad's phone or some kind of tablet or something, and all kinds of exciting things are happening in that little tablet space, but the child is not getting that basic childhood thing of just be bored and learn how to live with yourself.
Exactly, and let your imagination go wild and look around you and see what's happening around. My mom always made us go in our room when it was just too much. Everybody go in your room and shut your door and have quiet time. And we couldn't watch TV.
Yeah.
We could read or take a nap. That was it. Quiet time. It was wonderful.
Yeah. If my brothers and I, when we got sent in for quiet time, it didn't get quieter. It got usually erupted into some form of violence.
There you go. Yeah. That's your nature,
see?
Though.
Yes,
there you go.
Boys, right? Right. Well, okay. So when you talk about healing from divorce, my first thought is, well, God's love is there. And Jesus is a healer. That's what he does. I mean, people, we really forget about this, but he goes around healing people. But he also goes around teaching people and telling them the truth about who they are and what they need to do, and sometimes kind of harsh. So what's the place of that in the healing?
Well, anybody who was raised in a family, and we all were, knows that when you go outside the yard and where you're not supposed to and you fall down and hurt yourself and then you have to get back teen in your knee, or you have to go to the doctor and get a shot. There's a lot of painful things that happen.
Yeah.
And your mom can get upset and say, I told you not to go out there. Now, look what happened. And she sits down and she explains, this is how you hurt yourself. And I don't want you to do that anymore. We wouldn't go, wow, how judgmental, mother.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
just,
I did, but no.
Well.
See how I turned out,
yeah,
Rose.
That's what dad's belt is for, I'm telling you. Exactly. So you know, healing requires two things,
yeah.
And you know this, love and truth, and they're not mutually exclusive. And if we really love somebody and want them to heal and find the happiness that comes from holiness and healthiness, we have to give them the truth, even though it hurts. It's like a shot.
I wonder how much we're not giving people the truth before they marry, however.
Yes, exactly.
It seems like I don't know. Maybe that's another element of our very shallow, very kind of stimulated, almost overstimulated society, is a lack of preparedness for things like, oh, this is a lifelong commitment. This is very, very serious.
Well, I know you've heard this sigh, is that marriage prep begins when you're about 2 years old. You know, when you start to give mom lip and you're self-centered and self-focused, mom works that out of you however she can. Because if you grow up to be an adult and try to enter marriage, bringing all that self-centeredness, you're going to have a big problem and probably a divorce.
Yeah.
So
I have to say, my parents, I really feel like they did me and my brothers and sisters a service as well by remaining married. And I don't want to be the judgmental one, but
right.
But I really think that was a model of. And maybe as a boy, my father more than my mother, just the fact of my father, there was no question that he would ever leave my mother or leave us. That solidity, I felt I owed that to my wife and children when it happened to me.
Yeah, that's same. Well, I grew up the same way. It's like we saw mom and dad fight, and we all knew how they could, you know, push each other's buttons, but we also knew they would never leave.
Right.
Because,
right,
you know, sometimes dad would yell at mom, and then we'd like get mad at mom, and he goes, "Hey, don't talk about my wife that way."
I know.
And I was like,
yeah,
"What? I know. You said she was well, you know."
Yeah, right.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was great. It wasn't perfect.
No, it was far from perfect, but it was so solid.
Yes, it was faithful.
Yeah.
I know.
And I wonder about people who don't have that, you know, today. Like if maybe my generation didn't pass that on to our children. You know, I mean, I hope we did it. My wife and I did, but there's a lot of divorce in my generation.
And you know what? It's just, I think it's going to get worse. And whether they get married or not, there's going to be broken hearts and broken relationships. And the church, here we are back full circle again. The church is our mother, and that is a real image. And mothers will take you down to the doctor, and she will get you a sucker, but she'll also have you get a shot from the doctor.
Yeah.
So you get what hurts and you get what heals and you get some love and comfort in there too.
Yeah. Yep. Is Rose Sweet your real name or is it a stage name?
No.
It's not like a stage name, like you weren't like some kind of performer.
No, I really lucked out with my name, didn't I?
You are probably the most aptly named person I've ever met. But it doesn't seem like it's real. Like, how did you end up with Rose Sweet?
Well, don't ask my husband, because sometimes like if I go to a restaurant and or somewhere, what's your name? Rose Sweet. And I just look at them and I go, sometimes.
But your husband finds you sweet, I'm sure.
Sometimes.
All right. Healing after divorce is our topic this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet here to help you through that. 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll take your calls about healing after divorce on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
What is the Catholic form of marriage, and why is it important? What factors may invalidate a marriage? What about the so-called exception clause for divorce in cases of adultery? In 20 Answers, Divorce and Remarriage, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you understand church teaching on the indissolubility of marriage while examining the pastoral and canonical realities for Catholics who wish to join together in marriage. 20 Answers Divorce and Remarriage is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 8:34, Jesus summoned the crowd and his disciples and said, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." Where do we hear anything about taking up our crosses but in the Catholic Church? This is not a passage that a lot of people like to dwell on. Many prefer those passages that speak of simply proclaiming one's faith in the person of Jesus, and that's that. They're saved. So we do the sinning, he does the suffering, and we go scot-free. Those who have been closest to him have suffered the most. All his apostles were martyred except John, who stood at the foot of the cross with his mother, the most painful of places for those who loved him. What about you? Do you prefer an easy way out? Or do you think that his sacrificial love for you deserves a love that is more than just words? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Rose Sweet is our guest this hour on Catholic Answers Live. After surviving civil divorce herself, she has ministered to the divorced and remarried for more than 20 years. I am Cy Kellett, your host. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you would like some help healing after divorce, some direction in that area, if you have any questions about divorce, annulment, remarriage, we welcome your call. 888-318-7884. The calls are lining up, Rose, so you feel comfortable. We just go to calls.
Let's go.
Kayla in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, listening on Sirius XM radio. You are on with Rose Sweet.
Hi, Kayla.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good.
What's your question, Kayla?
Thank you. My question is, I've been divorced now for about 7 years, and every time I try to start the annulment process, I just feel like I'm abandoning God, like I'm just not doing what I should be doing, and I can't continue forward with it.
You know, a lot of people feel that way. Kayla, I'm glad you asked that question. Here's the thing. If nobody sits you down and really holds your hand through this process and explains to you what you can expect and what the church really teaches about that, then it'll be overwhelming and scary, and you will feel like you're doing something wrong. The beautiful thing is, I can help. You can, after this show, you can email me, rose@rosesweet.com. I'll spend a little time with you if you want. And I have a book on annulments. It's real easy to read. It's almost called For Dummies because, you know, that's how I like to read, something simple. But go to my website, rosesweet.com, and call me after the show. I'd love to spend a little time with you and walk you through the process, tell you what to expect, and hold your hand a little bit because some good things could come out of it. But you don't have to get an annulment if you don't want to. That's another thing. So we could spend a lot of time on that today. I don't want to do the long, long answer that Catholic Answers always says. I'm trying to do
what are
a
you
short,
saying,
I'm
Rose?
I'm trying to do a short answer
here.
Are
you saying we are loquacious here?
No, but you do talk a lot. So.
Okay.
Kayla, seriously, honey, I know those are valid feelings. I want to affirm that. Fear not. Contact me after the show, and I'd be more than happy to help you.
Thank you so much, Kayla. We are known, the Catholic Church is known for taking seriously Christ's words about the permanence of marriage. That these things, do you think when it comes to something like divorce and annulment, it may be the guilt or the among Catholics may be harder because it's pretty well known. I mean, I shouldn't say everyone knows, but I do think people know. I mean, there's certain things people know. The Catholic Church is pro-life. People know that Catholics believe marriage is permanent.
Right, and I think if they're non-Catholic and they're a good, faithful Christian or even people of other faith, deep down know that there's something that's supposed to be permanent about this.
Yeah.
You know, the church teaches a natural marriage is written in the hearts of all men and women. And because Kayla and people like her, you can tell she has a deep desire to please our Lord. She has a deep desire
yes.
to be close to him and to feel his love and to not offend him in any way. And that's what I love this program. We can get the good news out to people. The annulment process is not offensive to our Lord if done in the proper spirit and done well.
Rose, we are also on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope now, which means people can watch the show live, streaming all around the world. And we occasionally get questions typed in there. So Donna at Facebook Live types in the following question to you. How do I apologize to my 24 and 27-year-olds for divorcing their abusive father 20 years ago?
Oy. So, you know.
That's it? That's your answer?
Yeah, that's my answer. Next question. No. So these children maybe have held her hostage emotionally by refusing to forgive her. They're still bitter, angry at her. You know, if the anger is directed toward her, she has to kind of understand they're dealing with a lot of hurt and they got to direct it somewhere. And you know what? You don't want to direct it usually to the parent who left. You know there's something wrong there, but you still want to love them. So kids of divorce are in a bad, bad place. So Donna doesn't need to apologize for anything that she did right.
Ah, yeah. Right.
But she does need to make sure that she sits and listens to her children's pain. That's the first thing Jesus did with everybody when they came to him. He didn't start talking or, you know, quoting the Old Testament. He listened. He listened. So I would say, Donna and everybody else who might be in that same situation, sit your kids down some morning and say, okay, I know you're hurting. I know you're still angry. Let's just get it out. Let's talk about it. And I will listen. And don't apologize for what you did do wrong. But don't apologize for what you did do right.
And leaving an abusive spouse or getting out the children away from an abusive spouse may well have been exactly the right thing to do.
Exactly. But maybe she never told them to the extent of the abuse.
I see.
You know, because you don't – it's wise not to bring your kids into the middle of this stuff either. So we can't possibly address this like I would like to. But hopefully that helps, Donna. Sit down and listen to those kids and then just talk about it.
Thank you, Donna. Watching on Facebook, Edward in Westminster, California, listening on Sirius Channel 130. Edward, you are on with Rose Sweet.
Well, thank you very much, Rose. You know, I have a unique situation, but I'm sure other people have come across it. My ex-wife filed for divorce and an annulment back in 2005. And it was a short-term marriage. And one of the things she said to me after everything was over and done with was, I asked her, why'd you file for both of them? And she said, because you're worthless. And ever since then, I have not been able to hold down a decent relationship because of that's been, granted, I pray for her every day that she'll heal, but
Edward,
you know, that's my biggest problem.
Edward. First of all, you are not worthless. You are so loved by God that if you've heard this before, if you were the only person ever created, he would die on the cross for you. He loves you, even though maybe it seems like nobody else in your life loves you, and that's a hard place to be. I don't know what else to tell you, you know, if you get some good counseling or get a spiritual director, maybe read some good books. My book, Healing the Heartbreak of Divorce, is a good, easy place to start. And you know what? I'm going to add you to my prayer list.
Thank you, Edward. Thank you for that call. 888-318-7884 is our number here at Catholic Answers Live. Today we have Rose Sweet with us, and we are discussing healing after divorce. Any question you've got about divorce, remarriage, annulment, family issues after divorce, we're happy to take those calls today. We go now to Anonymous, listening on EWTN Radio. Anonymous, you are on with Rose Sweet.
Okay, hi.
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 Yeah. My question was, I think he put it out. I was married and divorced in my early 20s, a two-year marriage, no children, and that was 40 years ago. And have over the years, off and on, pursued annulment and gotten some poor direction or no direction. And now, in my most recent pursuit in the diocese I'm in now, they're saying it will cost $2,000, which is like way out of my budget unless I stop contributing weekly to the church I go to. So I'm just in a quandary about what to do because... frankly, I think the marriage, even though he was a pretend Catholic, and so was I mean, we were both baptized Catholics, but not practicing, and really pretty much invincibly ignorant about marriage at that time, or, you know, I just...
invincibly ignorant, that's a really good term, Anonymous. And you know what? People who can't get past 2 years in a marriage, usually that's a good indication that there was something very wrong with it from the start. I don't know for sure. But before the Pope in 2015 said dioceses don't charge any fees anymore, even before then, canon law permitted you to not pay if you really could show hardship or you can make small payments. And the truth is, while we're on this topic, is that the diocese does still get to charge at their discretion, a small fee for processing. The Pope didn't say you cannot charge anything, but he encouraged that. But you just talk to somebody in your diocese and tell them, you know, I don't have this money and I need this. And please get my book on annulments and read it first. It's so easy. It will give you what the church teaches on marriage, divorce, annulment. RoseSweet.com. Go get that book.
Rose Sweet is our guest this hour on Catholic Answers Live. We are discussing divorce and healing after divorce. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Happy to take your calls on any aspect of divorce, remarriage, annulment. I'm Cy Kellett. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What do the Pharisees, pagan emperors, the Nazis, and the Quran all have in common? All were enemies of the faith who admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times through the 20th century and draws from their words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics, one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is once again under attack. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Healing After Divorce, our topic this hour. We'll get right back to calls. Rose Sweet is our guest. And Rose, I have a pile of books for you from Carrie here at Catholic Answers. This is 20 of the 20. That's the whole collection of 20 Answers
I get a
books.
Present?
Well, it's not really a present. It's a chore. Well, not a chore, but a challenge.
I should have known.
You know how Carrie is.
Oh, gold.
So we're all taking, or a whole bunch of us are taking, now almost 900 people, I think, something like that, are taking the 20 Answers Challenge. And the idea is you get the set that you have there in your hands of the 20 Answers books. And
wow.
You read all 20 of them.
These are great.
Yeah, they are really good.
Wow, these are juicy topics.
Yes, I know. Right. Salvation. Jimmy Akin wrote one on salvation. I was like, I should probably read that. I need to know how I'm going to be saved. And
well,
I kind of had some clues beforehand. But there's 20 of them, and the idea is to read them through Lent and the Easter season and have them done by June 4th. I have a head start on you, Rose.
Is there a test?
I don't know. I may call you and say, did you read them? And,
then
mark you down if you didn't. So
Okay, I'll do it. I will do it. I take the challenge.
Okay, all right. Rose Sweet's taking the challenge. If you would like to take the challenge, you just go to Catholic.com and find the 20 Answers Challenge there on the website. They're half price during this. So you get the whole collection for half off. And when you buy that collection for half off, also $10 will go to St. Paul Street Evangelization for materials for them to do street evangelization with. So it's like a win-win-win-win-win. I don't know how – it's like a five-layer win.
You know, and they're so they're thin. They're not they're not threatening at all.
No.
And you could just leave these lying in your living room and after a cocktail party have a conversation about the papacy. And
yeah, right. Yeah. I haven't been to a lot of cocktail parties lately.
Come to my house. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah.
That's kind of a – That sounds a little bit like madman-ish. They do a lot of cocktail parties in Mad Men. Did you ever?
Yes,
oh, really?
They do.
You
yes,
don't
they
smoke,
do.
Rose.
Tarrington 100s when I was in my high school years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you said you've made a lot of mistakes, and Tarrington 100s is a pretty serious mistake.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Healing After Divorce is our topic this hour on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Jeremy, listening in Columbus, Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. Jeremy, you are on with Rose Sweet.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, guys. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Jeremy. What's your question?
Just real quick, I'm not divorced, but I've been married for 7 years, my wife and I, and I'm coming into the church this April, and I'm getting some conflicting answers from what I'm reading online, from my RCIA team, about convalidation. My wife and I were both baptized Christians when we were married, some people were telling me that our marriage is not sacramental, that we need to have a convalidation. Others are telling us that we need to have our marriage blessed by a priest. Others are saying we don't need to do anything because we were already baptized and we have a sacramental marriage. So I'm not sure what we need to do. I'm coming into the church. My wife's not. But
you
I want to make sure I'm doing this
Jeremy,
correctly.
You've come to the right place. Rose
yeah,
Sweet is chomping at the bit to answer that question.
I am. You know what? First of all, welcome to the church.
Amen.
And
brother.
We will pray for you and your wife as she considers maybe joining you in this, but without pressure, right? Here's what the church teaches, that any two people who are validly baptized, a valid Christian baptism, a man and a woman who exchange consent and say, I do, the church automatically assumes that that is a valid and a sacramental marriage. Baptized persons can receive sacraments. So when you come into the church, you don't need to do anything. The church already considers that your marriage is valid.
Okay.
Does that
awesome.
Make sense?
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's perfect. Great.
Okay, now pass the good news when other people have questions, because now that once you get the truth, you got to share it with others.
That's right. I'll do it.
Okay,
thank
Jeremy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Rose, right to the heart of the matter.
No, well, short answers here, Cy. Short answers here.
I don't know what that is. I've never had a short answer at Catholic Answers before. Also listening on Facebook Live or watching on Facebook Live is Tracy. Tracy typed in the following question, Rose. What's the best advice you can give to a newly married couple to avoid divorce or a place where they feel like they should or could get a divorce?
What? To avoid divorce or a place where they feel they should?
She wants to know how to stay out of a place where you might end up feeling that
okay.
way.
Okay. Yeah. Make sure your husband does all the dishes, takes out the trash, does dinner, and gives you foot rubs.
Oh, you've been talking to my wife.
Well, I know. Okay. Seriously, that's a really good question. Here's what I tell everybody at my retreats and seminars. There's one cause. All symptoms are rooted in one cause of divorce. Do you know what that is, Cy? One thing, what takes down any relationship?
I don't know. I'm sorry that I'm stuck.
Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-centeredness. So if you too can practice and make an examination of conscience and look at the way that you are being selfish in the relationship, you know, he likes the lights on, you like them off, blah, 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 and you're always arguing about little things, stop and look at those ways that you are becoming selfish. If you can root those out, you will be building a beautiful marriage based on self-sacrificing love. So get rid of any area that where you're being selfish. I know it's simple, but it works.
The church has a lot of tools for helping you do that too.
Yes, examination of conscience, even a nightly examine, the spiritual direction, spiritual exercises of Ignatian spiritual exercises. Every night before you go to bed, just take a review of the day and be honest about where you weren't as loving or kind, or maybe you gave the silent treatment to your spouse, or you were a little selfish. You ate her leftover lunch that she brought home from P.F. Chang's and knew she was going to get mad. That didn't happen to me.
I was going to say, that sounds very specific,
I'm not bitter.
Rose.
I am not bitter about that.
I'm fairly certain that happened.
If you do find yourself getting bitter, get to confession, because our Lord will meet you there. Seriously. I know I do like to joke.
Yeah.
This is a serious, painful subject. And sometimes humor is a little healing. But get rid of any selfishness. Works.
I believe you. I feel like I was very slow at that in my own marriage. I guess, I don't know, maybe other people are quicker at it. I don't know. It takes a long time. But maybe, I don't want to say it like in a hopeless way. It took me a long time, because it doesn't mean it would take anybody else a long time.
No, and you know what?
To start to realize, oh, come on, man. You know, like,
well, another thing that I love to talk about is the four temperaments. And those of us who are natural extroverts, we move more slowly through life. We process things. I think that's you. There are other people like me who just like rush into things quickly, and that could be a strength or a weakness. But doesn't matter. Just do it. Just take a day at a time and ask for the grace not to be selfish. And you'll probably end up having a really good marriage. Not perfect, but good.
Thank you very much for that question, Tracy. And thank you and welcome to everybody who's watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. We go now to Diane in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on 1060 AM. Diane, you are on with Rose Sweet.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Diane.
Thanks for taking my call. I wish I was stuck in an elevator with you and I could ask you for hours all the questions I have.
And I would love to. I'd love to be there with you.
Just don't eat her P.F. Chang's.
This is an issue that is the biggest issue in my life, divorce, for a Christian. And I was married for 27 years. I've been divorced for 14, and it feels like that I just got divorced yesterday. But among many, many questions, I didn't enter the divorce without much, much advice, spiritual direction, and all that. But I feel still very guilty about it. I feel as though I entered my marriage sacramentally with my eyes open. My wedding ring said the first part of 1 John, love one another. And my husband said, for love is of God. Or it was the other way around. So we had the same parts of the verse in our wedding rings engraved. And I was not Catholic when I got married. We married, baptized, but in the Anglican Church. I've become Catholic since. People tell me I should get, I don't need an annulment because I wasn't married in the Catholic Church. But I don't understand how I could get an annulment, or why would I, because I feel still married sacramentally. I know I'm divorced civilly, but I feel that that was a lifelong oath, vow, covenant, and I don't see how it could ever end. And people disagree with me all the time about it.
Well, one thing that I've learned the hard way is don't share your story with just anybody, because you'll get lots of conflicting information. You know, pick a spiritual director, some close friends or whatever, if you want to talk about this. But don't bring it up to just anybody, because you will get all kinds of answers. If you have no desire to seek another relationship, and you really have investigated thoroughly what the church teaches about marriage, and you believe your marriage is valid, then live faithfully to those vows. You don't have to get an annulment. The church still considers you married, and you're living apart, but you are a married woman, and you can still have a rich and full and satisfying life in that way. Maybe it may be that you haven't done deep enough grieving over the losses. I don't know. If you're still struggling with the emotions, maybe that's where you need to focus your healing, not on the annulment, but on the healing of the emotions. Does that make sense?
Somewhat, but I grieve. I'm constantly trying to pray my grieving doesn't get in way of my life, because I tend to be very upset about it a lot. My husband has moved on to a long-term relationship with someone else, and that is very painful. I dream about that. I don't feel angry. I feel sad. Mm. I feel rejected, even though we aren't civilly married anymore.
Yeah, you know what? You were rejected. This isn't, you're not making this up. You were rejected, and I don't know the reasons, and we can't get into that now. But you have a living rejection going on here. You have a living human person that you tried to bond with, and they're off somewhere else, and that is a constant pain. And all I can say, here's the short answer, is this is a cross. This is the heart of our Catholic faith. And you carry that cross with dignity and grace and humility, and you unite that with Jesus' cross. He knows the broken heart. He understands. He is close to those who are brokenhearted. So consciously take that cross to him, and I will keep you in my prayers.
Thank you, Diane. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you would like to talk with Rose Sweet about healing after divorce, that is our topic this hour. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics. Today, our faith is under attack like never before. Skeptics of all stripes are trying to undermine the very basis of our faith, the revelation that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Some critics argue that Jesus never even existed, and they've influenced tens of millions of people today. Others have argued that we shouldn't trust the canonical Gospels because there were dozens of other Gospels in the early church. And many more have claimed that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all written long after the ministry of Christ, and that the evangelist felt free to simply invent stories and sayings of Jesus to suit their own goals. No wonder so many people today doubt their faith or have lost it altogether. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of these charges. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released a new DVD by Jimmy Akin titled Why You Can Trust the Gospels. It's a powerful presentation in which Jimmy takes on the skeptics and refutes them point by point, revealing how evidence from non-Christian sources and even tiny details in the Gospels that you've never noticed all show how the Gospels are true and accurate records of what our Savior said and did. To make your donation and get a free copy of Jimmy Akin's new DVD, Why You Can Trust the Gospels, visit Catholic.com and click the Why You Can Trust the Gospels banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Why You Can Trust the Gospels banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Rose Sweet is our guest this hour. Our topic, healing after divorce. We go now to Paul in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Paul, you are on with Rose Sweet. What's your question?
Hey, Rose. Good to talk to you.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling.
It's actually John Paul, but I don't always use that. But when I was getting confirmed, John Paul was the Pope, so I picked his middle name. So anyway, hi.
Hi,
I'm
JP.
Calling because, yeah, there you go. I'm in the middle of a tough situation after 22 years of marriage. My wife decided to file for divorce and move out, and we're Catholic, both of us married in the Catholic Church, and she's more than convinced that she's got, you know, a full steam annulment ahead of her, but we haven't tried to reconcile at all over the latest issues that are going on. But, you know, it's kind of sad. There's priests giving her support that, oh, you have to do this because you're standing up for yourself. And there's priests telling me, this is terrible. You got to stand up for your family, fight for your family. And I'm like, which church are we living in? The church that promotes family and staying together, or the church that says, hey, if you need to get out, there's an escape clause and you can get an annulment and start all over again?
Oh, Paul, those are great questions. Here's the thing. We have a church that promotes unity and harmony. We have different priests that promote different things. You got to separate sometimes the priests from, quote, the church. The church is our mother, and she wants us all together, and she has all the tools to help us get there. But we have free will, and obviously one or both of you don't have to access your, you know, these helps, and away somebody goes. So here's the thing. You can't fight in that way for your marriage, but you can stand firm and stand still. And this is what I would tell the spouse who's being abandoned or being left. Don't pursue, because there's this thing that when you pursue somebody, they distance from you. Just stand firm in your faith, live a good life, be close to your kids, pray for her, try to, you know, draw close to our Lord, and let her have the freedom to let the Holy Spirit work on her to maybe draw you back. And find good counseling, good Catholic counseling, good Christian counseling, a good spiritual director. Take a deep breath and don't make any decisions for a while. You're in the big midst of things. So take a day at a time and know that you're in my prayers.
Well, I think that's nice advice. I think the biggest thing I see is that as an example for our kids, one of them's about to be married. You know, it just seems like there's a lot of people in the, let's call it, in the church that might not be following everything we're supposed to, that are looking for an escape clause. And I just don't know if that's the mentality that we're supposed to have. And that's my issue.
Well, I think you already know the answer. We're not supposed to have that mentality, but yes, many people in the church do have that mentality, and that's why we still need grace. I still need grace. My natural tendency is to be self-centered. If my husband would ever put lunch in the refrigerator that I could eat, I would. No, okay.
You got to let it go, Rosie.
I know. I just, Paul, you know what? You know the right thing. You know what the church teaches is hold fast to the truth, and you're going to be okay. Hold fast and carry that cross.
Thank you, Paul. We go now to Rose in Southern California, listening on 930 AM, the mighty KHJ in Los Angeles. Rose, you are on with Rose.
Thank you. Hello, Rose.
Hi, Rose. I'm in Southern California, too.
Well, thank you for being here and helping us to understand some of the issues and concerns that we have in regards to marriage and so forth. This is not really on after divorce, so I hope it's an appropriate question. It is in regards to marriage, and the question is, if someone goes into marriage loving or hoping they were marrying someone else, would that marriage be valid?
Well, that's a complex question. It's very interesting, but your affections, the way you feel towards somebody, doesn't necessarily make your vows valid or invalid. Validity is based on two people, a man and woman, who come together and have both the intent and the ability to enter marriage as Christ has married to his bride, the church, which is a free, full, faithful, fruitful union. On some days, you know what? I don't love my husband. And some days, he doesn't love me. But we made a vow, and in our mind and our hearts, we intend to be faithful to each other, and that's where the validity of a marriage bond comes, not necessarily in the emotions. But if somebody gets married to somebody and they love somebody else, I think that's not a good thing to do. Don't you?
Yes, I would agree. And it was beautifully explained. I understand it very well. Thank you. I still feel that the question is maybe not clear on my side. So that's very beautiful, and I do capture that.
Rose, can I ask you a question? So are you saying if you marry that person, but you're not in love with them, and you don't really love them, and you don't really intend marriage, but you're marrying them for some other reason, is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
I'm referring to someone who hoped they would have married someone else, but they just felt that person was not
available.
They had no idea, yeah, available, if that person was ever going to be available to, you know. But that person was not married; it's a single person. But they just didn't know if this person was ever going to come back into their, not into their life, but their circle of friends where they could re-engage.
Well, you know what? This is a very deep psychological issue that has to be explored with professionals. But I would just say, on the surface of it, it sounds like somebody in that situation used the other person. They married them, not being in love with them, for some other good or benefit to themselves. Now, we can't get into validity or invalidity because it requires much more. But just in general, whoever this person is, they should probably go get some help.
Thank you, Rose. And thank you, Rose. We go now to Laura, listening in Queens, New York on 89.3 FM. Laura, you are on with Rose Sweet.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Laura.
I have a question for you. I'm just a little confused about annulments, because I don't see it anywhere in the Bible. I don't see the concept of it. So how is it? To me, it seems man-made and not from the Lord. So where is it in the Bible? And help me to understand how it is added to an option once somebody divorces?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And Catholic Answers has lots of beautiful, long answers to that on their website, articles that you can download that to give you much more than we can here. But basically, the church laws are man-made in a certain sense. We got them from Jesus. We get them from the Lord. But we write them down on paper, and then we try to teach our people and enforce them. So our laws are a cooperation of being given the truth from God and then trying to apply that in our daily lives. And Jesus himself said that there were people who attempted marriage who were not able to be married or couldn't live it out or who married invalidly. Like, you know, you hear this common example back in the day of like a father trying to marry his daughter or you know, there was incest and, you know, they had problems just like we do back in the day. So Jesus recognized that there were certain situations where people attempted marriage and it wasn't valid. So we get, you know, the church teachings are all from Jesus.
Could I ask you, Rose, do you think the term annulment is sometimes confusing, maybe because what's actually granted is a declaration of nullity? Is that term clearer to people, do you think? Or
no, the no? whole thing is as clear as mud to people, and that's why it's so important that seriously that you cover this so beautifully in on your website and in these programs, because we need to get the good news out. Annulment is so merciful, and it's also just, it's the church coming in and saying, let's take a look at what you guys did on the day you got married, where you'd come from, what was going on in your minds and hearts. Let's be merciful and just here and see, was there something really, really missing from the beginning?
Laura, you can go to Catholic.com and just type in Bible and annulment, and you will find those materials. Let's go real quick now, if we can, to Donna in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on Immaculate Radio. We have short time. Donna, can you just phrase your question for Rose?
Yes. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Donna.
Yes. Back in 2015, our son was 18 at the time, and he married. And it's not a good relationship. The young lady that he married was 8 months pregnant at the time, not our son's child. And she had a very, very bad upbringing. She was in and out of foster care since the age of eight. And at one point, she was very physically and emotionally abusive to our son. And we really don't know now because we're pretty much estranged. She has managed to keep him away from us. So I know divorce is not a good word because we're Catholic, but I know it's something that he probably will have to pursue, and I do hope that it's very soon.
So your question, your question for Rose.
I was just wondering, I'm thinking that an annulment would be something that he should do and that he should not have a problem with.
Well, you know what? When people get married very young and there's a pregnancy involved, there's usually an indication that there might be some problem with the exchange of consent. However, educate yourself. Get my book on annulments and you read it, Mom. Digest it and maybe sit down and talk to your son about that. But educate yourselves first. Don't move quickly. Don't assume. Get some good input and go slow and take it a day at a time.
And the name of the book, Rose?
How to Understand and Petition for Your Decree of Nullity.
And you can find that at rosesuite.com.
Yes.
Rose, I'm worried about you. Drive carefully. It's going to be raining.
I'm going to take the safe road. You told me I'm going to do it.
All right. Well,
okay.
God bless you, sister. We need you.
God bless you, brother.
And for all that you do for us in the Catholic Church, we don't want to lose you. Next up, next hour, Dr. Stacy Trasankos will be here to talk about, does science need Christ? The relationship between science and religion, but most particularly the relationship between science and the Christian faith and the person of Christ himself. Rose Sweet, thank you so much for being with us this hour.
Hope I can come back soon.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. You were kind of hard on me on some points there, but I will not eat your P.F. Chang's. I can tell you that.
Okay,
that's
good.
Never gonna
happen. Hope that's clear now.
Rose Sweet, rosesweet.com is where you can find her next hour. Science and Christ. Dr. Stacy Trasankos will be here. I'm Cy Kellett. This is Catholic Answers. We'll be right back.